With me is Dr. Richard Friedland, the CEO of Netcare. And Richard, a great set of results, strong results, but the market is never satisfied. Talk me through the last 12 months in terms of the highlights from your perspective.
Yeah, thank you, Bronwyn. I think it was a particularly challenging year for us, both from a macroeconomic perspective and where we find ourselves in healthcare. And so the first 6 months, we saw volumes down. A lot was seasonal because of Easter. And we had a very good recovery into the second half of the year. We've still been able to pay out an exceptional dividend, over 61% of our headline earnings per share or profits. We were able to pay back to shareholders, $1.6 billion in both share buybacks and dividends over this period without really impacting the amount of debt on our balance sheet. It only increased by $278 million. We kept our debt to EBITDA levels at 1.2. So a very strong operating performance. We showed good operating leverage. And overall, we were pleased with the results.
Talk to me about the outlook and whether you believe we're going to remain in this constrained environment despite some forward-looking reprieve on interest rates.
I think that sentiment has definitely changed. I don't think most people saw a government of national unity as an alternative to a coalition or an outright majority. And I think that the sentiment in our country has certainly changed, and we're seeing that, and change for the better. We haven't seen the fundamentals follow yet, and so we're hopeful that they will do so. I think healthcare is always a late cycle beneficiary. It'll take time for the healthcare benefits to come through. And obviously, in terms of medical aid membership, that's directly proportional to the number of formerly employed South Africans. So we've got to get the economy going.
Richard, early September, you spoke to my colleague Alec Hogg, and you chatted about NHI and the Hospital Association of South Africa. I see in your verbiage today on your results release, you still stand by the statements as an aggregate that the legality and the feasibility of NHI is still very much in dispute. And further, you have commented that there is collaboration, better collaboration with the public sector. If I can just get your update on that front.
Well, I think since the 1st of September, when we launched that proposal at HASA, we have been invited through BUSA, that's Business Unity South Africa, to discuss our concerns and potentially put a proposal on the table. BUSA has tabled that to the president directly in the first week of November, and we're waiting a response. And Bronwyn, we see it very simply as this. We've got a very binary choice. We can take the low road and meet in court and drag this process out for 5 to 10 years, and there are no winners. Well, the president can galvanize the private sector, its resources, its knowledge, its expertise, and most importantly, its willingness. And we can together solve the problems in South Africa. We can't wait another 10 years to address the inequities and differences in healthcare. We need those solutions, and we need them now. We think there are a number of initiatives that we can help with as the private sector. And I don't mean that in a patronizing way, but I think there's a greater collaboration between public and private. Having said that, there are fundamental concerns about the NHI Act that will need to be addressed through amendments. Some have chosen to go to court. We as HASA have held back. We're awaiting a response from the president, really, as to whether there's a door that's been opened or not.
In its current form, do you believe NHI would break South Africa?
We cannot afford to tax more people. We've reached the absolute pinnacle of that Laffer curve. And that Laffer curve teaches us or shows us that actually the more you increase taxes, actually paradoxically, the less you collect because people start avoiding paying. And we're at the very peak of that curve at the moment. So the funding of what is being conceived within the NHI needs to be unpacked in detail. And there are far more rational ways of achieving what government wants to do. And we believe there are solutions to this.
Richard, in terms of one of those people that self-medicate, I hate to tell you that I'm one of those people. And I see that that is hitting your results. Is it a big trend that continues to grip the medical environment?
I think it's a trend certainly within the primary care environment. I think it also has to do with disposable income being under pressure. I don't think it's necessarily a negative one. I think people learn to cope during COVID. They become more resilient. I think we must respect that. There is always a place for a general practitioner and a dentist and primary care physicians. But to the extent that people feel they can self-medicate, we certainly wouldn't advocate against that.
And then, Richard, you are staying on beyond September, navigating another 6-month period. Of course, we're already 2 months into that. Any visibility on your successor?
So, you know, the nominations committee has selected an external candidate, and they want to ensure that there is significant overlap. We've got a lot of executive changes, as you would have seen from our presentation. We've just finished the first 6 years of a 10-year strategy, and fortunately, very successfully on digital. The next strategy on data, this is an inflection point for us in terms of driving data with our big data analytics platform and our person-centered health and care. So it's a big year for us, and I think the board took a view, given this, given all the changes in NHI, let's manage the succession very carefully.
Dr. Richard Friedland, always a pleasure chatting to you. Thank you for joining us here on Biz News Briefing.